Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Thank you for downloading the Tech Central podcast. I'm Duncan MacLeod. I'm in Midrand today to chat to a pioneer of the PC industry in South Africa, and that's David Kahn, CEO of Mustek. Welcome to Tech Central, David.
Thank you, Duncan.
So Mustek is 30 years old this year. That's quite a milestone.
Yes, indeed. Eh? I mean, 30 years ago, I started up this company, and I still have the similar model passion of running this company.
Yes. So I think everyone knows the Mustek brand, and if they don't, they certainly know the Mesa brand of PCs. Mustek's been here for the long haul now, 30 years. The company's been through massive changes in the industry, seen massive changes in the industry, from the move from DOS to Windows back in the 1990s to the era of cloud computing that we're in now. But David, before we chat about all that, and I want to talk about some of those changes you've seen over the last three decades in this industry and what they've meant for Mustek.
Sure.
I want to chat a bit about you, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Tell me a bit about yourself. Where did you grow up? I believe you weren't born in South Africa.
Okay. I was born in Taiwan.
Taiwan.
In 1959. Mm-hmm. So I'm a rather old man. Okay. I was educated in Taiwan until what we call junior college.
Mm-hmm.
And after junior college, I then spent 2 years in army. And after army, I went to finish my undergraduate degree in Pittsburgh State University in Kansas.
Oh, yes.
My major is mechanical engineering technologies. And I graduated from Pittsburgh State University back in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's the same year that I relocate to South Africa.
Right. I'm trying to remember. Your father was a diplomat, wasn't he?
Yes. My father was the economic counselor.
Yeah.
From the Republic of China government.
Okay.
I mean, those days, there are not many countries who have a diplomatic relationship with South Africa.
Mm.
And Republic of China or Taiwan was one of it.
Okay.
And so my father reported to his position back in 1983, and he retired in 1991.
Okay, okay. So he was posted here in Pretoria, was he?
In Joburg, actually.
In Joburg, yeah. Okay, okay. And that's how you came to come to South Africa?
Originally. Well, at the time, I mean, after graduate from the universities, obviously that, you know, I put myself into the job market.
Yeah.
Okay, and those days probably was not that easy to get a job. I mean, being a foreigner in States, you still have to apply for your work permits and,
okay,
and so on and so forth. And I thought that, you know, my father's offer was quite good, because I don't have to pay for any accommodation, foods, and, you know, so on. So I decided to come to South Africa, and my father also believed that in South Africa probably I will find better opportunity, because, you know, those days in America is already kind of like overtraded, and less opportunity in U.S. So that's the main reason brought me to South Africa.
Had you been here prior to your first arrival here?
Yes. In 1984, I think during my summer vacation, I did spend a week or two here.
Okay, so you knew the country, or you knew a little bit about the country,
yeah,
and
you liked
what you'd seen.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So you came to South Africa. Did you then found Mustek, or did you were you doing something else prior to that?
Well, when I arrived in 1986, I mean, I started to work in a cutlery manufacturer in Butterworth.
Oh wow!
Okay, and then from Butterworth, I was transferred to Tabancho.
Wow!
And then in 1987, I had an opportunity to visit the very first PC show that was hosted by the Taiwanese government,
in Taiwan.
No, in Joburg.
Oh, in Joburg. Okay. Okay,
and then I had this opportunity to meet the guy. Also, he's at the time his company in Taiwan called Mustek Corporation, uh-huh. and he was the manufacturer of motherboards and couple of maybe I/O cards, and he was interested to set up something in South Africa. But he needs someone to manage his distribution businesses in South Africa. Hence, I put my hand up. I said I can do it because I want to work closer to home because otherwise, Tabancho is a it's a good 5-hour drive.
Yeah. Okay. So that was 1987.
That
started. So you started Mustek.
Yeah. I mean. So yeah. I was rather honest with Mustek Corporation, saying that I really don't know much about PC. Okay.
Yeah.
Because my major in university is mechanical engineering. So he says, don't worry about it. We will send you back to the factories, give you 2 weeks intensive training, and you will become the expert. So hence that I booked the ticket flew back to Taiwan for my training, and then I came back to set the company up. Right from the beginning, that the company, the sales office was in Rosebank. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I think it's Constantia Center.
Okay.
Constantia Center in
Rosebank.
Yeah. Okay. And the warehouse and assembly line was in Harangkua.
Oh wow. Okay. Okay. So you were actually assembling machines right back in those very early days.
Correct.
Okay. And so you were importing components, motherboards,
motherboard cases, whatever it takes to assemble PC. Those days we're actually selling components as well as selling complete PC. But right from the beginning, we would from the PC side, we were pretty much focused to assemble PC for other brands.
Right.
Okay. There are two brands I can remember. One is Tedelec.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is called Microbond.
Micro?
Microbond, B-O-N-D.
Okay.
Okay. Microbond is from Bondwell. Okay. I don't know if you still can recall
a
brand called Bondwell.
I don't.
Okay. Bondwell branded PC was distributed by a company called James Raff.
Okay.
James Raff today is still doing the Casio distribution. So they want to sell PC to the retailers such as Mountains and those type of guy. So they want me to assemble PC for them under the logo of Microbond.
I see. Okay.
Okay. And a very similar story with Tedelec as well. And then in one stage I was also assemble PC under the logo of Brother.
Right, and you're a distributor for Brother products today, of course.
Yeah, So and then I thought that since we're already doing all these assembly, okay, so we probably need to establish a Mesa. Our own brand. And this is where Mesa branded PC come from.
Right.
Okay, because just on the economy of scales. So I might as well just do one brand that is under my control.
Yeah. And of course, that Mesa brand went on to be extremely successful. But why assembly in the first place? Was it cheaper to do the assembly in South Africa? Was it an import tax issue? Why not just bring the boxes in and sell and resell them?
Well, in those days, yes. There are taxes. There are import duty for complete PC.
Okay.
I cannot remember exactly what was the duty that we need to pay for complete PC. So it would be more economical to do the local assembly.
Okay, and you were doing that in Harangkua?
In Harangkua, yes.
Okay, when did you move it to Johannesburg?
I think back in 1990 or 1991.
Okay.
So our first premises was in Weinberg.
I remember.
You know that was the the company is operating in that premises was called Radian.
Okay. Yeah, I remember those offices. Yeah. That was a long time ago.
Indeed.
Okay, so how you grew quite quickly in those early days. I mean, it was the early days of the PC industry back then. Those were DOS-based machines you were selling, I suppose.
Very much so. Yeah. I think I was at the right place at the right time.
Okay.
I didn't have any vision at the time saying that, you know, the PC is going to grow so quickly. I didn't have the view, but I was at the right place at the right time, and also I was in those days due to sanctions. Mm-hmm. Okay, a lot of international players will not be able to come into South Africa to compete. Okay, and I think that, you know, I took that opportunity to grow the company and to establish the foundation well. So after the sanction was lifted in 94, instead of I chase them, they have to chase me.
Yes.
So I mean, even if you look at that Microsoft South Africa, Microsoft only came back to South Africa in 1995. You know, I mean, before Microsoft South Africa established, I signed an OEM agreement with Microsoft office in Taiwan.
Right. So because of those sanctions, you were able to build an early lead in the South African market. What happened after they came back? I mean, the big brands like Compaq in the back then, HP, I think, was a player. IBM was, of course, a big player.
Sure,
in the PC
market. The competition become tougher and tougher.
Yeah. How did the market change for Mustek in the mid 90s as the market opened up to competition?
I think I adopt the change too slow. Okay. Those days, I was still very much loyal to the Mazer brand, I think from a distribution company point of view, I was Mustek was the last one who started to work with those international brands.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. What were the growth drivers in those early days? I mean, we saw the shift to Windows. Windows 95 was obviously a massive event back in the mid-1990s that drove PC sales. But, you know, what were the real growth drivers in those? Obviously, it was the early days of the industry and people were buying their first PCs. Mm-hmm. But where was the demand for Mustek products coming from? Was it more business, government, consumer, the board?
I think those days, the government sales probably account for 20% of the total sales, and all the others are like on channels, in corporate account, you know, and so on. But you know that, you know, what keeps the growth of the PC industry, and I always said, you know, I mean, 70% of the new PC sale will go to the replacement site because you know, the hardware. The development of hardware was rather quick, okay, and the application the new application is keep on coming up that require you to replace a new piece of hardware in order to be able to use the latest application. Unlike today, that you know, because the application is slowing down. I mean, the current piece of hardware is pretty much good enough for five years. Yeah, those days, you know, that if you use a PC or a notebook for more than 3 years, you're outdated.
Yeah. I mean, there was all that talk at the time about the Wintel Alliance and how every version of Windows would demand a much more powerful processor and more storage and more RAM and all the rest of it.
Correct.
And you're right, that's changed completely.
Yeah, I mean, I still remember, you know, the first hardest drive that we bought was 10 megabytes.
Yes. And I'm sure it was huge at the time.
And they jumped to 20 megabyte. And guess what? Okay, I mean, 10 megabyte, I still remember who sold me that drive. Neil Rex from Drive Control.
Yeah, I remember my first PC actually had a 40 megabyte hard drive in it. My first PC with a hard drive had a 40 megabyte hard drive in it.
40 megabyte hard drive, that must be ST251.
could well have been. I don't remember that detail, I'm afraid, David. Yeah. But it was powerful at the time. I do remember that. It was running Windows 3.1 on top of DOS.
Yeah.
So we've come a long way.
Oh, yeah, indeed.
When did Mustek list?
Back in 1997.
97. Okay, there was a bit of a listings boom back in that time, 97, 98, wasn't there? IT stocks at the time.
Well, at that time, at the time that, you know, IT sector was very popular.
Yeah, it was.
Because of the growth potential and so on and so forth. So we would manage as a matter of fact, it's not... We didn't list, okay? It was like kind of like a reverse listing.
Oh, yeah.
At the time that there was a private equity fund called Belbet. Belbet bought into Mustek in 1995, okay? And then they distribute... Belbet at the time was a listed private equity fund.
Yeah.
And they distribute their Mustek shares into their shareholders. And that was like automatically that we have X amount of shareholders and, you know, and so on. So we were listed in the Johannesburg Stock Exchange.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But you must be one of the few companies that actually is still around, still listed on the JSE from that batch of companies that was listed in...
Well, we were listed in 1997. Pinnacle, I think, was listed in 1998.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But there were a lot of tech companies that listed at the time which went bust.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was
you have kind of like startup company that enjoy like 100 PE. Okay?
Yes, I remember some of those companies. Yeah.
Or more than 100 PE. Okay. So, yes. I mean, those company, I cannot recall which one is still here.
Yeah. So a testament, I suppose, to this company that it's still around, still listed on the JSE 30 years later and been through the dot-com bubble and all the other changes in this industry.
Yes.
Rectron, how did that business get started?
Okay, Rectron started back in 1995. The reason why was, remember I told you that, you know, Mustek was doing we assemble PEC as well as we distribute components.
Yes.
And it actually become a little bit of a conflict.
Right.
Because you know, I will not be able to charge a premium for the assembled PEC.
Yes.
You know, people, the customer will just use a component A, B, C, D, add them together, and they're willing to pay that price.
Right.
Okay. And also component distribution is a lot more competitive than an assembled PC. So at the time, I made the decision to spin out that the component distribution side. When I say component, means like those days was like monitor, motherboards, VGA cards, keyboard, mouse, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And I tried to, for Mustek, I tried to focus on the assembled PC.
Okay.
So that's where Rectron get established.
Okay. All right. Now the industry's changed quite substantially over the years. I mean, we had the PC era. We've moved into a mobile era, cloud era now. How has the industry changes affected you? I mean, you've become more of a distributor of people's products now than an assembler of PCs. You distribute for big international brands like Toshiba, for example. What led to that shift?
I think that it started from this notebook distribution. Okay, so in early days, I was even very much focusing on making Mazer notebook.
Yeah.
Okay. Because like I said, I mean, my focus is to grow the Mazer brand.
Yeah.
I want to drive Mazer notebook, Mazer desktop PC, and so on and so forth. I did not foresee that, you know, the international company will be so quickly putting tremendous amount of pressure on us regarding price, regarding margins, and so on and so forth. And I mean, like I said, I was the very last distribution company who joined, who joined them.
Yes.
Yeah. So the first, the very first international brand that we signed on was Toshiba. Sorry. I was wrong. Okay. Back in 1999, we did sign with Compaq.
Oh yes.
Okay. But I think 2 years later, we decided to terminate the distribution of Compaq. I think that was largely due to the culture of the company that was very much focused on our own brands, and we didn't do well on with Compaq. So 2 years later, we decided to let Compaq go.
And they were bought by HP at some point as well.
But much late, later.
Much later. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So and then I think back in maybe 2007 or 2006. You know, I see that Mesa branded notebook and desktop PC are start to losing ground. Mm-hmm. So I need to get an international brand to enhance the offering. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the first brand that we signed with was Toshiba.
Toshiba, okay. Yeah. And now you represent a whole wide array of...
Well, not really, not really. I mean, if
who are your main brands?
If you compare us with other hardware distribution company, I think we probably have the least brand.
Okay.
Today, in notebook side, we are representing for Toshiba, Lenovo, Asus, Acer. That's it.
Okay. Okay. Do you keep that focus narrowed deliberately? Is it? Does it help you?
I am a firm believer. Okay. Probably not nowadays. I mean, I was very much against that. Create competition under one roof.
Mm.
Okay. Or create competition amongst the brand. You know, if this brand is doing exactly the same, or they deliver the same product as the other brand, I mean, I normally rather hesitate to bring in competition to compete with the brand that you already have.
Representing.
Yeah.
Because you're there to sell their product.
So. Yeah, correct. Mm. But I was wrong.
Okay. So, major brands represent in this business. What are you involved in the assembly of computers at all anymore? Is that business in the past?
No, we're still doing the
assembly.
We're still doing the assembly of desktop PC.
Okay,
I think that last year we still do around 40,000 desktop PC.
Okay. And
then we're using the assembly line facility to do the reimaging for the international branded notebook, and if there is an upgrade, we still push those products into our assembly line.
Okay. You've always played a big role in the education market. Tell me a bit about that, especially in schools.
I think again that is by chance.
Okay.
We are doing a lot of school rollout for such as like telecom foundations or MTN foundations. In order to complete their CSR, there are certain amount of school they need to do.
Okay, yeah.
And they outsource that job to us.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So so we got the chance to do the installations, to even build classrooms, and yeah.
Okay. Now we've seen the shift to mobile, tablet computing, smartphones, etc. And we've seen this have an impact on PC sales around the world. PC sales in recent years have been under a lot of pressure. There's been some signs just in the last little while that maybe the market's starting to turn and starting to pick up again. What's your, first of all, what impact has the shift to mobile computing had on Mustek's business? What do you see as the future of the PC? Do you think it still has a strong role to play?
Well, like I said, I adopt the change too late, okay? For the last couple of years, that PC market, being the notebook PC and the desktop PC, was under a lot of pressure from tablet.
Yes.
Okay, but I think that the situation now has turned around, that people understand that we'll not be able to replace PC with tablet.
Mm.
So what you have seen now is the tablet sales is declining a lot faster,
mm-hmm.
PC market kind of like stabilize or button out. Okay, with a positive outlook, maybe we can expect a low single digit growth in the next couple of years.
Okay, so the PC is not going anywhere. It's just that its heady days of fast growth that we saw back in the 1990s are over.
Correct. That's what I believe. I think the PC market is bottomed out.
Is bottomed out.
That we went through, the lowest points.
Yes. Okay. What's the future of the PC? I mean, we see new form factors coming out. Microsoft has got into the hardware game now for the first time. It's launched its first laptop computer. It's got a new all-in-one desktop. It's experimenting with new form factors. I think it's encouraging other PC manufacturers to experiment with new form factors.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that these changes, coupled with some of the technologies that Microsoft particularly is introducing, like augmented reality, are going to be positive for PC sales in the future? Do you think that consumers are going to get excited about these new form factors that are being proposed? Do you think we're going to return to a situation where people are once again excited about the idea of owning a PC?
Look, okay, we are not trying to be the market leader. We try to be a market follower.
Okay.
With the flexibility we have, I mean, whatever the market change, we can adopt and adapt very quickly. If the all-in-one PC all of a sudden, for whatsoever reason, become very popular, we can gear our assembly line to reconfigure the device,
sure.
Okay, to go with the market demand.
Mm.
So I'm not particularly worried about what form the device is going to change to, right?
Sure.
Microsoft, Intel, I mean, those international big company, they are the leader of the country, and we just try to follow their steps.
Okay. But technologies like AR and virtual reality, do you think these are going to spur demand for PCs? VR in particular seems to require a very heavy processor. Do you think that this could spur the sales of more powerful computers, or do you think that this is just another fad that's going to go away?
I just came back from Computex.
Right.
Okay, and I can tell you that 50% of the exhibitors was trying to show you some gaming PC.
Okay.
Gaming notebook, gaming PCs, together with VR goggles and those type of things.
Mm.
And sure, I mean, that is still a very small portion of the total PC market.
Sure.
Okay. Should that market become or to have this growing momentum, we are geared to take the opportunity.
Okay, so if it happens, you're ready for it, but it's not clear whether it is going to be.
No, it's not that clear.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Okay. I don't believe that gaming PC will be the mainstream. Okay.
Yeah. Because never has been.
Gaming PC is very much of a consumer type of a product.
Yeah.
Okay. And VR goggle, again, I mean, there are so many different standards.
Mm.
You got Oculus. You got the one from HTC. You have Google. You have Microsoft. you know, you have a lot of challenges on the unifying platform.
Mm.
And I think that, you know, going back to the VHS and beta days, you know, that some kind of a consolidation need to take place. But we are not betting any specific camp. You know, we will go along with market choice.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, this is, you know, very similar scenario like IoT, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that the reason why IoT is not penetrating the market quick enough is just there are too many different camps.
Too many standards.
Yeah, too many standards. Mm-hmm. And one platform cannot communicate with another platform, and everybody tries to be the guy who set the standard.
Okay.
So let them fight.
You'll set it out. And
Yeah.
Don't get involved in the fight yourself.
Not at all.
Okay. What about cloud computing? I mean, there's a big shift to cloud computing now. How does that change the game in this industry? It almost, to me, feels like we're kind of going back to the mainframe era, in that all the computing power is now being centralized somewhere in a data center once again. How does that affect Mustek, this move to cloud computing? Does it just mean you sell more components into data centers than you perhaps did to the end user consumer before? What impact does it have on you?
I think nowadays a lot of people still have some kind of a reservation about cloud computing. Okay, you will not find a corporate that is only going to put his data in one data center, okay, or in one cloud. Normally, you have this sort of like a Google Cloud, for example,
mm-hmm.
But you will also need to have a private cloud.
Yes.
Okay. I think that we still need probably some time for people to give that their 100% trust mm-hmm. of this public cloud and do away with their private cloud.
Mm. Mm.
But whichever cloud you're talking about, the device is still there.
Mm.
You still need a device to access the cloud.
Mm.
Okay, and whatever data that you need to handle from the cloud, you still need a relatively powerful PC to deal with it.
Yeah, we're not going back to the mainframe era where the client on the desktop was a dumb device.
Correct.
The client on the desktop still has to be relatively powerful.
Sure. I mean, if you look at that your Samsung, I think released a product, you know, that they're using the smartphone as a PC.
Yes.
So you when you get back to the office, you dock the smartphone and it operates as a PC.
Yes.
But you know, by browsing on internet, I think that device is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to handle some data, Excel spreadsheets, you still need a reasonably powerful PC to be efficient.
Yes. Okay. I wanted to get your views on Apple. Has it been a force for good in this industry or not?
Apple is a magic, okay? Apple managed to hold their space in the premium sector of the market, right? They're not interested in growing their market share, but they hold, I mean, in that the certain ASP or every selling price.
Yes.
Above that, they dominate the market, and Apple is very sticky.
Mm.
I mean, I can just see, you know, from my kids, right? When they want, you know, a phone, and I said, but you know, I have this and that. I can get it from the supplier a lot cheaper. Are you interested? No, give me Apple. So you know that they are very sticky, and they hold the premium sector of the market so well.
Yes,
and I cannot see that any brand are in the position to challenge them.
Right.
You know that they not only that, they also make Apple as a It's like a Louis Vuitton bag.
Yes.
You know, you need to have an apple, you know, to show your status.
Mm. It's not it's not just about the hardware; it's about the brand.
That's it.
Image.
That's it. Mm. And I mean, to challenge that,
yeah,
it's nearly, I would say, impossible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have to ask you, David, what phone do you use?
Huawei.
Huawei. Okay.
And the reason why I use that phone?
Yes.
Very simple. It's free. I never spend money to buy phones.
Right. Okay. And do you like it?
Yeah, I'm not a heavy smartphone user.
Okay.
So I just, you know, use the phone to take calls, make call, and probably some text message.
Okay.
Only nowadays, okay, I can tell you now, within the last three months, I started to join some social media.
Oh,
for
yes.
example, like WhatsApp and Line, WeChat, only. So I'm a very, very light smartphone user.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And on your desk, a Mesa machine?
Absolutely.
Okay. I wouldn't have expected anything else. Just lastly, David, where do you see this industry going over the next 5 or 10 years? What are the opportunities that Mustek sees?
Look, we all know that the hardware market is kind of like saturated.
Mm.
So, if we expect to deliver those 10-20% growth year on year, just on hardware distributions is, I would say, very difficult task. Okay. I think going back maybe 5-6 years ago, we started to make investment to other areas.
Mm.
For example, like we bought shares into C-Sway IT servers. We bought shares into Qualisa IT servers, and so on and so forth. Last year, we also invest with a Chinese-based company called YOFC, setting up a fiber cable manufacturer down in Durban. So we are not expecting, to get to this 20% growth year on year just on hardware. We are trying to diversify to some other areas such as services, such as fiber cables, two-way radio. I mean, we have recently signed up with a company called Hytera, which is a number one two-way radio brand.
Mm.
So I think we started to distribute their product from about May this year.
Okay.
Sorry, April.
Okay. So branching out into non-traditional areas and looking at services as a growth area.
Well, I think if you're looking for growth, I mean, I don't want to say bring in another brand to cannibalize with your existing brand. So we need to maybe looking at new product that is not competing with the existing product because you already got huge pressure on the existing product.
Mm.
So why give them more? Now, similarly, like 5-6 years ago, we signed up with Huawei Enterprise. At the time, we didn't have any like networking products, and Huawei Enterprise product. It's a brand new add-on. Instead of that, we sign up with Huawei Enterprise, but sacrificing another brand.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, great. David, congratulations on 30 years in business.
Thank you very much.
And thank you so much for joining us on the Tech Central podcast today. David is CEO of Mustek.